You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on my couch. Welcome. This is the place where you can get information about how to make your life better, happier, richer. Not talking about material wealth, as you know me, by the way. Well, that too, I guess. Also, you can find out how to create better relationships. And I also put a psychological spin on what is going on in the news. And I interview fascinating people. You guys know that. And today is no exception. My special in-studio guest is Linda Gabriel. She's also known as the Thought Whisperer. Isn't that a cool thing? I love that. I went, oh, yeah, I've got to have this woman on my show. She's awesome. She's a certified clinical hypnotherapist. She's been helping people since 1992. And Linda is also well known for her CDs and MP3s to help folks with weight loss and self-esteem, energy, motivation. That's just to name a few things. That's what we all need, right? She's also part of the 2008 DVD Spirit Space. It's a journey into your consciousness, which is a bestseller on Amazon.com, by the way. She's the author of a couple of books. Boy, she has a huge resume, so I'm going to just go through this and bring her up here. Authoring from Berman Books, Inner Power Series, Abundance for Life, Love, and Money and Weight Loss Forever. Of course, she's working on a brand new book, too. We're going to talk about that. Linda Gabriel, thank you so much for coming in the studio today.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey.
Great to be here.
So nice to have you. We'll have so much fun today.
I know we will.
My listeners love this kind of thing because they want to find out how to feel better and how to make their lives richer and just be happier in general.
Don't we all? Yeah.
That's absolutely true. So you're working on an upcoming book. You said it's called Spiritual Hypnotherapy?
That's right. That's
neat.
The working title. And we'll be talking in that. I will be talking in that book about things we'll be talking about today. So this
cool.
is kind of a preview.
Yeah, a little taste. That's mm-hmm. Everybody gets a little taste today. What a great idea, too, because a lot of people don't realize, you know, exactly what goes on in hypnotherapy. And what exactly do you do in your work as a hypnotherapist?
Well, I work with people on several different levels.
Mm-hmm.
One, which most of us are familiar with, that hypnotherapy is very useful for, is just basic habit change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If there's something you'd like to change, like, stop biting your fingernails or stop smoking, hypnosis is a really great way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't just about solving problems. It's also about just enhancing our performance in life and our sense of ourselves and having a better state of mind.
Yes.
A mindset. I think that's the new lingo, which I really like because it really is a core part of the work I do to help people have clearer and more positive ways of thinking about themselves and the things they're doing in life.
Yeah.
And when we do it from the subconscious level, it becomes automatic.
Wow,
that's
interesting.
That's the key.
Yes,
yeah.
That's really cool. I was, reading so much of your information, and Linda, you're quoted as saying, as a hypnotherapist, I profoundly respect the power words have to shape consciousness and affect behavior. I'm always amused when a new client asks me, can I be hypnotized?
And yeah. you say you have to stop yourself from blurting. When have you not been hypnotized?
Exactly. Because, you know, you look in the mirror and say, oh, I look terrible today. Well, that's what I call a bad trance.
Oh, boy.
A lot of the work I do is really about undoing bad trances.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so from very young ages, we've been given all sorts of messages about who we are and our self-worth and what we have to do to be okay in society. Mm-hmm. It gets really bad in junior high.
Wow.
And
yes.
so all of those things go in at a rather young age, and they, no matter how much, oh, and by the way, they're reinforced by advertisers to make
sure.
us feel like we're less than,
yep.
so that we need to buy whatever they're selling to feel better about ourselves. So that's what I call bad trances.
Yeah, you know, it's what a great idea. What a wonderful concept. I mean, you know, in psychology, we have to work from, well, your cognitive behavioral or your insight-oriented therapy, which is based on a lot of the messages that you received as a child, not to blame mommy and daddy for everything, but a lot of those messages from whoever, the school bullies, peers, whoever raised you, whoever caregivers, grandma and grandpa, whoever, mom or dad, and we buy into those negative messages, and then we believe that within ourselves. But the fact of tapping into the subconscious to change those belief systems, what a great idea.
Yeah, you know, it's important to... Well, sometimes I think it's less important than we believe about finding out how it all came to be.
Yeah.
I guess the basic premise I work from is that mm-hmm. the subconscious mind really wants to be helping us.
Yes.
It's not the enemy. And sometimes when we talk about the subconscious, right. people think, oh, it's out to get me or sabotage me.
Right, right.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But what really is happening here is that it really wants to help you.
Yes.
So, but it formed its... patterns of behavior mm-hmm. when you were really young.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing that was good for saving you,
mm-hmm.
maybe from getting a spanking when you were three,
yeah.
It might now be influencing your performance anxiety when you're 33 and you have to pitch something
wow.
in front of someone, and all
right.
of those old programs of not being okay come up and plague you.
Boy.
So we can know where it came from, but unless we...
Yeah.
And sometimes insight is great, and you
sure.
get a big aha moment, and it shifts things.
Yeah, yeah.
But I find that even with myself, you know, I do recordings, hypnosis recordings for myself to
mm-hmm.
shift
oh,
old
that's neat.
Thoughts. Because
yes.
Let me back up just a little bit here. You know, we've done hypnosis. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And science is starting to catch up a little bit.
Yeah.
And we're finding out, this is rather recent research. I
mm-hmm.
think maybe 15 years ago, they started researching the brain waves of children.
Hmm.
And maybe your listeners are familiar with like alpha waves or beta
right.
waves. And so when the brain is doing different things, that has different electrical activity,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and that those patterns are connected with different states of,
right.
of being. So it turns out that children are, from the age of infancy to 7 years old, tend to be mostly in theta.
Wow, and that's
a kind of dreamy.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
And then from 7 to 14, our brains tend to hang out more in alpha. Which is a kind, it's both of these, both alpha and theta states
yeah.
are very suggestible.
Right.
Right?
How
and
interesting.
Yeah, so when we become adults, we're more in beta.
Right.
And then we try to change our behavior that was laid down in those alpha and theta states.
Wow.
So I finally, you know, got some scientific reason
yeah.
about why it is when we go into hypnosis, well, we go into alpha and theta, right?
Isn't that interesting?
So now
yeah.
we're talking directly to the subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
We're
mm-hmm.
counting on the fact that the subconscious wants to help,
mm-hmm.
and we give it some new instructions.
Yes.
And 9 times out of 10, it's very happy and to take that new program and put it to work for you mm-hmm. automatically.
What a great idea.
And when it doesn't, there's usually something we haven't, there's some other program that's in conflict
mm-hmm.
that we haven't quite discovered yet. So then
yeah.
we go back into the insight to kind of say, well, what did we miss there?
Yes.
Yeah.
What a great discovery. I mean, that's fascinating. You know, most, I guess, adults, as we say,
I haven't met very real adults. Have you?
No, I guess
I think
not.
They're like unicorns.
That's right. You're so
we
cute.
See pictures of them, but we never meet
somewhere.
Them in real life.
That's right. supposedly consciousness
yeah.
is beta. Right, to everyone.
Right.
And then
mm-hmm.
sort of, you know, just to explain, the first level, scientists say the first level of sleep, if you're relaxing, is alpha.
Yeah.
And then the next level is theta, and then the deeper levels delta, and then the big deep, well, it's not that deep, but that's where you're having the REM cycles, where a lot of supposed repair happens, where
yes.
the eyes are shifting, you know, rapid eye movement,
yeah.
you know, is happening. So that's fascinating that the
yeah.
babies until 7 are in theta. So they're in sort of a deep, that maybe that's why our kids don't pay attention to us.
Exactly.
Like,
I mean,
wake up!
It would be good for us to take that into account. But, you
yes.
know, when we're calling, I would just want to back up a little and say mm-hmm. that beta isn't exactly mm-hmm. adult consciousness. It's just one state of mm-hmm. the brain, and that adults are also going in and out of these different states mm-hmm. many times a day. That's another part of my joke about when have you not been hypnotized,
right.
because most of us have had that experience of driving home,
yeah.
and you pull into your driveway and you realize you've been involved in a conversation in your mind,
right.
and you think, did I stop for those red lights? How did
yes.
who drove this car? Well, you were in an altered state, probably in a mild alpha state.
Right.
And so you shifted into alpha, and your subconscious got you home.
Wow.
If something had happened,
true.
If somebody slammed on the brakes in front
sure,
of you, you'd
sure.
snap right out of it.
Right.
But things like driving a car actually are rather automatic. In fact,
right.
when we learn something and learn it well,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a subconscious pattern that's running.
Wow.
Like you can tie your shoes
mm-hmm.
without thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If
sometimes.
the shoelaces are becoming
obsolete.
Get those
double knots. That's right.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when you first, for
yeah,
example,
totally.
You with a car, you know, first learn to drive a car, you think about every single thing as a separate action.
Yeah.
And then as you learn it more deeply, you don't have, you just get in, start the car, and go.
Mm-hmm.
That's great when the behavior we want to have installed is one that's desirable.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes those habits are
yeah.
not the ones we like, and they keep
yeah.
happening automatically. That's where hypnosis can help.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think that, you know, in the early stages of sleep, as we call it, alpha, like you said, we're driving in the alpha state many times, or, you know, just things that we do by rote. We don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Do we go into that state, do you suppose, sometimes when we're denying certain feelings that we don't want to deal with? Are we shoving feelings down and going into kind of zone territory in alpha, do you think?
You know, I haven't thought about that, but good question.
Thanks.
Well, you know,
yeah.
I wish we had millions of dollars and we could just hook up people's brains and see. You know, that's I'm thinking now, because people tend to go into alpha when they're watching television, for
right.
example.
Right.
And a lot of people zone out in front of TV,
mm-hmm.
and it does relax them.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say that it's necessarily repression, but it
right.
is an activity. When people are in alpha, they feel more relaxed. And
right,
so
right.
if emotions are troubling you, you might reach mm-hmm. for something that relaxes you.
Yes, yes.
And going into alpha.
Mm-hmm.
But and just on that note.
Makes sense.
You know, people who live in a big city in North America like Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
We're being overstressed just driving down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So having a time where you can go into alpha, which is related to that kind of relaxation response, is a good thing. So I don't want to say that it's a repression, as
okay.
I'm thinking about your question,
mm-hmm.
but it is a coping mechanism and can even be a therapeutic one.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
So things that relax you, excuse me, like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. you know, time in nature, listening
sure.
to music, yoga, massage, and hypnotherapy are all great ways mm-hmm. to compensate for all the stress in our lives.
That's so true.
Yeah.
By the way, if you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me and my special guest today, Linda Gabriel. She's known as the Thought Whisperer. I just love that, Linda, by the way. I think it's so cool. She's a certified clinical hypnotherapist. She's been helping people since 1992. She's also well known for her books, her CD. She has MP3s to help people with, you know, general issues, self-esteem, energy, motivation, weight loss, that kind of thing. And she's working on a book right now. It's called Spiritual Hypnotherapy, which I think is going to be a great seller. Also, you're part of this new book that you gave me. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's called Fearless Women, mm-hmm. Visions of a New World by my friend, the incredible photographer Mary Ann Halpin. And it's a photo essay book of 50 women. They're photographs, beautifully photographed by Mary Ann. And then each woman tells a story of their vision for a new world.
Mm.
The Dalai Lama said that the world would be saved by Western women. He says a lot of other things too. I'm not saying
wow.
it's only Western women, but she heard that and felt it was a real call to shine a light on these incredible women who are doing a lot of wonderful work in the world.
Yes.
To inspire both men and women.
Yes.
To hold a vision because. Vision holding is a special concept close to my heart, and I've talked a lot with Marianne about this.
Mm-hmm.
About
yeah.
when we hold something in our consciousness, it's a step before it becomes created.
Yes.
And so
yes.
We can argue and try to fight with problems, or we can create something new.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the gist of this. And we'll be having a book signing in Los Angeles at Barnes & Noble at the Grove. On, I think it's Saturday, November 10th.
Right? Oh, that's
at,
great.
At 2 p.m. So if people want to come out and meet women in the book and have the book signed.
Oh, that's great.
That would be a great time, and they can meet me as well.
Oh, that would be
wonderful.
And what I
did, it was help the women craft their stories.
Yes.
Half of the women, I'm a co-editor with Marcia Mercant. So.
Oh, it was a great book.
I really enjoyed it. Really privileged to talk with these women and.
Oh, that's
learn
so
about
neat.
Them. Yeah. From, they're from all over the country and some even from other countries.
Yes, so. And there's all walks of life.
Yeah.
I mean, really, there's judges and attorneys
right.
and psychologists and you, a professional clinical hypnotherapist and also healer
yeah.
as well. You know, there's so many great women in there.
Mm-hmm.
And those pictures are amazing. Marianne
mm-hmm.
Halpin is an amazing
yeah.
photographer.
She certainly is.
Wow. Everybody looks great. You're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Linda Gabriel. We'll be talking about what is hypnotherapy and also something I know you're going to be very interested in. It's life between life hypnotherapy. What? We'll talk about that too. I want to take a moment out to welcome again my sponsor, great company, and it's esocialcalendar.com. Let me ask you something. I have a quick question. How many of you are tired of online dating? All right. I want to introduce a new dating service that brings online dating to a reality. It's called esocialcalendar.com. This is the place you can finally find that special someone with whom you have true interests in common. What's great is they get people together in large groups for events and activities, which range from mixers to sporting events to outdoor adventures and much more, all in a group setting. And I can't believe somebody's found a way to take the mystery out of online dating and take the pressure out of your first date and trying to figure out if somebody's lying about what they really do and how they look. You get to go to these group settings, events, activities, fun stuff, and actually meet a bunch of people. So that's the way to do it. Membership right now is 100% free, so go to esocialcalendar.com and sign up right now. It's a great way to meet people. I think online dating's amazing. How they have, you know, just switched into, because you really can check people out, can't you, Linda? I think it's a really good idea.
You can. And people sometimes don't show who they really are online too. So
that's why you got to
checking them out is the right idea.
Exactly. Exactly.
But this service sounds good. I'm going to write it down.
Cool. It is a good service. They're good people too. Anyway, you're back here on the couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today, Linda Gabriel. She's the Thought Whisperer. She's a certified clinical hypnotherapist, and she has CDs and books, and we'll talk about how you can get in touch with her and also how you can get a hold of all this information. She has a book signing coming up we'll be talking about as well. If you'd like to call in now live, you can do so if you have a question about hypnotherapy or what we're going to be talking about, life between life, hypnotherapy and lots of other cool things as well. 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. If you're shy and you don't want to get your voice on the air, you can also email me directly at docmichelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's, at AOL.com. If you have a little question you'd like to ask Linda, please direct it towards her and or me. I'm cool, but I'm not the hypnotherapist, so there you go. You know, Linda, you're a longstanding member and teacher of the Michael Newton Institute for Life Between Lives Hypnotherapy Center. What is that type of hypnotherapy about?
Well, Michael Newton is a PhD psychologist, mm-hmm. very academically trained,
mm-hmm.
who was working with a client, and hypnosis was one of the things in his tool bag.
Yeah.
And he took him back to an earlier incident. We were talking about things that happened earlier in life, and he was surprised when this person went all the way back to World War II, and they had, you know, they were 20-something years old. So obviously it was a past life, which really kind of rocked Michael Newton's world because it was not within his paradigm. And so he began working with people with past life, and it helped the person. And the other thing was that this is quite unusual, so I don't want to give people the idea that with every past life we get this kind of information.
Right.
But in that particular case, the fellow remembered his name, rank, and serial number of who he was. And Michael Newton was something of a World War buff, World War II buff, and he looked it up and found out that everything this young man had reported actually happened on that day in that on that battlefield in France, and that he, this man had died at that time.
Yes.
So he got interested.
My goodness.
Now, most people are familiar with past life, right?
Sure.
And it's been shown on television and movies. But up until quite recently, maybe the last 20 years or so, if a person had a past life regression, they would just sort of go to a gray place after they died in the past life.
Yeah.
And maybe about 20 years ago, people started continuing on. And so a life between life hypnotherapy session is when we go through some scenes in a past life, go through the death, but we spend the largest part of the session investigating what happens after the person dies. So this is more in the area of what people report from near-death experiences.
Right, right.
And we have opportunities to learn a lot about who a human being is at a soul level.
Interesting.
Outside of just their ego-identified self.
Yes.
That they're familiar with is, you know, I'm Linda Gabriel, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, that you have other aspects of yourself to explore.
Wow. And you just touched on something that's so happening right now. Speaking about the soul, the most recently talked about journeys is, you know, Dr. Eben Alexander. He's that neurosurgeon. He was recently on the cover of Time, and he's been featured on all the networks, you know, being interviewed. He authored the book, Proof of Heaven, A Neurosurgeon's Journey into the Afterlife. And he never believed in the phenomenon of near-death experience because he, you know, he's a hardcore medical doctor. But he was, just a review for you guys, if you didn't read about this, he was in a what's called a brain dead coma for about 7 days, and he explains in his new book that he was taken to a world where we're much more than our brains and bodies, and death, he says, is not the end of consciousness but rather a chapter in a vast journey. And it's sort of having a hardcore medical neurosurgeon, you know, talk about this experience, and he was saying it wasn't a dream, it wasn't you know, any kind of a light sleep state, it wasn't a hallucination, because he had the MRIs and was showing on, in the interview, I was brain dead. that cortex wasn't happening, nothing was going on. So what experiences have you had? Where do you think our souls go when we leave this body?
You know, I, by the way, he got some flack for that. He's under some pressure from his peers. Because,
I bet.
You know,
right.
But I think he's really courageous to report his his findings. And similarly, Brian Weiss, who's an MD psychologist or psychiatrist, who wrote the book Many Lives, Many Masters.
Yes.
He also had an experience, and it took him 5 years to get the courage up to actually publish it, because he was chief of staff of the Department of Psychiatry at a big hospital in Florida. And he's Yale trained and had a lot to lose, because there's this divide between science and spirituality. But that divide is getting smaller. And it happened in this person, actually, this one human being who had has to actually reconcile these two experiences, all that he's learned as a scientist with what he actually experienced. And to the very least we can say, I'm not going to say that I or anyone else knows exactly what happens when we die. However, certainly with the evidence of his case, what is happening in the brain isn't the full explanation of consciousness.
Right.
I like to think of it this way, and I think I heard Deepak Chopra speaking about this. It's a mistake to think that the music is being made by the radio.
Interesting.
You know?
Yes.
So Beethoven writes the music, and we can listen to it on our radio, but actually, what's the source of it, really? And, you know, now we've got so much that's happening invisibly. You know, I have an iPhone here, and I can tune into the whole world. It's not the iPhone that's creating all the information.
Yes.
It's actually translating it so I can become conscious of it.
Yeah.
I think of the brain a little bit like that, the physical brain.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think of consciousness as existing in a non-local way, mm-hmm. the way that quantum physics is speaking of,
yes.
then it's not really as interesting a question to ask where we go when we die, but you know, how did we ever get here in the first place?
Right.
I find it a little bit more interesting. Like, what is this focus of physical reality really all about?
Fascinating
and
stuff.
I believe that everything is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I do too.
And so
mm-hmm.
part of us is mm-hmm. always in that non-physical
mm-hmm.
realm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think we choose to come back?
I think this may surprise you and some of your listeners that. I think that people think about Earth as a school. Have you mm-hmm. ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're here.
Yeah.
Earth is a school, and we're here to learn lessons.
Yep.
Unfortunately, most of us didn't go to so great schools, and we didn't pass. Or we think of school as no fun, and it's when you get out of school when it's fun. So
right.
everyone say, I got to learn what I got to learn and get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, my work over the last dozen years or so, where I've been focusing on past life and life between life, I've gotten another kind of point of view,
uh-huh.
which is that we kind of come here to work on our hobbies, and this is the vacation. Earth is the big amusement park.
I love it.
So I think we come here because we want the experience of it, and that it's not necessarily, yes, and we do, and learning is something the soul dearly loves.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike your
mm-hmm.
school child self,
mm-hmm.
your soul's fascinated.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. Let's say that you're interested in learning about patience,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
if you think about it, if we're out of the physical, mm-hmm. and there's no real time and space in that dimension, like, to wait for something is an unusual kind of exotic experience.
Yes.
Right? So we come in as a soul and say, I want to have that patience thing.
Right, right.
And then we find out, well, how do you learn it? Well, you have to organize for yourself a lot of experiences that will give you impatience
mm-hmm.
so you can learn the difference by contrast about what it is. So I think that's why we come in and why we don't remember who we really are, because
mm-hmm.
then it's no fun. It's like knowing the end of the movie and we want to have this experience.
Yes, exactly. That's fascinating stuff. And I think, I mean, do we strive to, do you think that there's some kind of wheel that we go life by life? But and do we strive to become more, I hate to use the word enlightened, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? As beings, each time is it important for us to learn certain lessons to stop coming back?
You know, it's really clear that there's, first of all, I just want to say that when we speak about things like mm-hmm. this, there are always paradoxes at work.
Right.
So many of us feel like, what am I doing here? I want to get off this planet.
Yeah.
However, if you still have that, and I have had people say, I know this is my last lifetime, I'm out of here.
I'm done.
And I always smile because I think, well, until you don't have a resistance to being here, you're not going to stop coming because you haven't you haven't come into a place of acceptance. And the souls that come back, we call, or there are some traditions that are called bodhisattvas,
mm-hmm.
like the Dalai Lama reincarnates to come to serve. And so when you become as mature as a soul as someone like that is, then the issue of whether Earth is a pleasant place or not is completely beside the point. In some ways, we're not learning to get out of mm-hmm. here. We're learning to come here mm-hmm. with love and service to others mm-hmm. as our point, as what we're wanting to do.
That's
so
cool.
There's a paradox there.
Yeah, there really is. Interesting stuff. If you just tuned in here to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today is Linda Gabriel. And, you know, she's an author. She's a professional hypnotherapist. She's been helping people since 1992 and before. She has lots of CDs, MP3s, if you prefer to help listeners with weight loss, self-esteem, energy, motivation. She's authored several books, and new ones coming out. It's Spiritual Hypnotherapy. We'll talk more about that as well. But we're talking about, you know, just how to help yourself with hypnotherapy. And she does what's called, it's the life between life. Why is it important for us to learn about our past lives in helping us with right now?
Well, first of all, I draw a distinction between past life work and life between life work.
Right. Okay.
Although it's really helpful to have a past life experience
mm-hmm.
before,
mm-hmm.
so you have this larger sense of yourself
mm-hmm.
and to just become familiar with the whole process
of
getting that kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, and this is what most people are aware of, sometimes people have a persistent problem that hasn't resolved with ordinary therapy or even insight into the issue or even hypnotherapy to change your behavior. Sometimes these are phobias. They'll show up as a phobia or without any reason that one can find in the person's personal history. Or sometimes odd physical symptoms or even disease processes can have their root in an unresolved conflict from an earlier life. Now, I'd love to tell you that I'll always, when we go back and find out what that is, that there's a spontaneous healing, and it does happen, but it's not a guarantee. But that's one reason why people go to learn about past lives. But more commonly, what happens is people find out that, I kind of divide it into two kind of categories. One is a past life where you go back and you find out that you're dancing the same dance with the same people. It's a themes and variations kind of, and you realize that you've done this before, and you're in the process of recreating the same pattern. Usually, it's not quite as seriously, and it just happens,
right?
Because we live in a place with more freedom, for example, that you know maybe two people who are in love, and at one point he was the slave owner and she was the slave, or vice versa. And now they have conflict or obstacles in getting together. And they need to actually learn to be to stand up or to believe that love is stronger than fear, or something like that. So it's about just learning and taking a look at where you've how you've done things in the past can often free you up to have more energy behind making some of the changes. So instead of just thinking about it, you go, you know, I'm just not going to waste my time. I'm not going to waste this life. I'm going to make that choice, or I'm going to change my job, or you know, exercise the freedom that I gave my soul to have in this lifetime. Now the other kind of past life you can have is one where you're 180 degree opposite and maybe had abilities that were they're there but they're latent. And in this life. And so I can remember one young woman came to see me who was had a lot of choices to make. They weren't really, well, they were sort of serious. She was a flight attendant from another country, and she wanted to be able to come back and forth to the United States, and her green card was involved. So she needed to choose whether to stay. They were furloughing a lot of people, and she could either stay or not. And she was just, she had a relationship, and she didn't know quite what to do. And she was just stuck in this place of not being able to make a decision. So we did a past life with her, not necessarily for that reason, but that was just what was going on in her life. And she went back to a time when she, it was almost like her, I remember she described her clothing as what the Three Musketeers would wear. You know, I don't know what era that is, but she was actually the person in charge of the village around some royalties, the castle, you know, the king or the prince's castle. And she ran the town. She was a man in that life, and she never doubted her decision-making, and she was very well-loved and honored by the townspeople because, I want to say he, was a really good manager and made great decisions, not only for himself, but for the town people. And the thing was is that while she had that session, she could feel what it felt like to not doubt oneself and to trust her decision making. And when she came out of that, she had that kind of on a cellular level. It got reawakened. So she was able to make better decisions. I'm not saying that they were the right choices, but her feeling about her state of mind while making decisions was greatly improved. You know,
what a great idea.
I hope that helps you understand about the kind of things people can work with. Life between life's a little bit different. So we'll talk about that too if you want.
When someone's being hypnotized, you know, and I've heard this a lot from clients, sometimes they had a hard time getting down because they just didn't want someone to control their minds. And I know you're going to clear this up. Or maybe they didn't feel comfortable with that person. I can hear you and see you, and you're very calming and sweet, and you know, somebody would I would sure think trust you and feel comfortable with you. But I've heard from, you know, people that some other hypnotherapists, they just can you hypnotherapists control people or
Well, you covered a couple of things. The first one is I think it's really important that the hypnotherapist and the person they're working with are in what we call rapport. I spend, mm-hmm. I always talk to people on the phone mm-hmm. to make sure that we've got, it's that energetically that we're comfortable with each
yeah.
other
yeah.
and get to know each other a little bit. So I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to kind of like the person I'm working with and
right.
feel good about them too, because you can't fake this. So
right.
we're working at a level of, it's very intimate in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's natural to be, and probably a good thing
mm-hmm.
that people, so I say shop around, you know, and I may not be a good fit for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So take
sure.
time to get to know the person if mm-hmm. you're going to be in hypnosis.
Yes.
Now the other question is about control. And some of this comes from all the stage hypnosis people see.
Right. Right.
And stage hypnosis is set up so that people, I don't want to give too many secrets away.
Go ahead, Linda. Girl, it's all right.
Well, what happens, a lot of those people who are on stage are first of all, a good stage hypnotist looks at the audience and asks them to do certain things as audience members
right.
to kind of suss out who are the more suggestible people.
Yes.
And
yes.
there are people who will do, they really want to be uninhibited, and
mm-hmm.
once they're under a slight light trance,
mm-hmm.
then they go, okay, this is my time. I can do something. That,
mm-hmm.
but it's not something that they would never do.
Right.
And I have all the time. And there's a certain area of hypnosis where people can be suggestible, and I'm really careful not to do that, especially
mm-hmm.
with past
mm-hmm.
life.
Yeah.
So, you know, for example, if I want them to describe the day, instead of saying, you know, is the sun out, which is kind of a leading question unconsciously, but,
right.
you know, then they'll kind of might picture the sun. And I'll say,
mm-hmm.
you know, is it daytime or nighttime?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of weather is it?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I ask non-leading questions.
Right.
Now, if I jump to a conclusion and someone's really well into a session, it is not uncommon for them to correct me.
Interesting.
And they begin telling me.
What their day
on.
Looks like.
Yes.
And so in
yeah. terms of, you know, they'll say, no, that's not the way it is.
Or, yeah.
And so it's not as easy as people think.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know, it shouldn't be confused with brainwashing or stage hypnosis.
Right.
And also, there's also sometimes a fear of, I'll be out of control, and what if there's something
right.
like an earthquake or
exactly.
something like that?
Right,
you know,
right.
I've actually been with people who were in hypnosis when an earthquake hit here
in
LA.
Oh, my gosh. What happened?
And the other time, one time was with a sonic boom.
Right.
The person in hypnosis is actually more aware of the earthquake before I was.
Wow.
They're almost like the animals are.
Yes.
So they were actually awake and standing up before I'd registered, oh, my gosh, that's an earthquake.
Wow. Interesting.
So it's quite the opposite, actually.
Yes.
At the same time, if there's noise like a truck or
mm-hmm,
something,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like that same part of you that when you're having a dream doesn't want you to wake up.
Right.
So the phone's
right.
ringing, but you put it in your dream.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, you'll see people in hypnosis, and there's all this noise going on. I'm thinking, oh, that's got to be disturbing them. And it does. They don't even bat an eye. They just
sure.
stay right where they are. And
yeah.
afterward, I'll say, did that bother you? And they say, well, yeah, I was aware of it, but it just didn't interrupt me.
Yes.
I was too focused on what was happening.
That's fascinating.
But if it was
yeah.
something dangerous,
yes,
they would immediately
yes.
know and snap out of it.
Exactly.
So I hope that allays some of the fears.
No, it really does.
Yeah.
I think it helps a lot of listeners out as well.
You know, I should just say that it's
yeah.
just simply, it's not like taking a drug.
Right.
It's just relaxing.
Right. Exactly.
And the conscious mind goes on the back burner so we can talk to the subconscious
right.
a little bit more. But your powers of observation are intact.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And also when you're in your induction, right, when you're
mm-hmm.
helping someone go down and get comfortable, you can also give them, I would assume, the suggestion that you can include any, you know, outside noises
right.
you hear, the air conditioning, doors
correct.
Closing, people... That will get you into a deeper, relaxed state.
That's right.
You know, right?
I think
so
you've been
them...
trained in this a little bit, Michelle.
I've actually been... I was very deeply hypnotized when
uh-huh.
I was in college many years ago. And, boy, I'll tell you, it's a great drug. I really wanted to go back down again.
Yeah. Well,
because
we
yeah.
crave that relaxation because we're also...
Oh, you said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a
but it has
wonderful
so
place.
No bad
yeah.
side effects on you. For
right.
It's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to go around clucking like a chicken afterwards,
no.
you know.
Unless you want to.
Unless you want to.
If
you
yeah.
want to cluck like a chicken and... You know, they did that recent, I think it was on 2020, I'm not quite sure, they did that recent experiment with, can someone create a murderer through hypnosis?
Oh, I missed that. I'm
and
glad I did.
Fascinating stuff. But,
yeah.
I mean, it sort of, they didn't have, because there were so many variables, but they said, you know, the right kind of person who
right.
maybe have a propensity towards antisocial personality disorder, if they are violent or if they have it within them, if they're suggested, you know, this was a complete, these people didn't know what they were there for. They were saying, you know, just a hypnotherapy experiment.
Yeah.
But
I've worked with thousands of people, and
yeah.
I haven't heard of any criminal behavior.
No one's going to do anything that they don't
no.
want to do.
Right.
Exactly. Right. You're not going to do anything that you're not comfortable doing. So, like
well,
I said,
let me comment on that because, you know, we have all of this information about brain structure now, and there's a neuroscientist who was studying violence and the brain the brain patterns, and I think even a genetic marker for predisposition to being violent.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he tested his own genetic structure, and guess what? He carries the trait.
Wow.
But he's not a violent
right.
person.
It's somewhere in there.
And I think that's so great because it's important for us not to get too tied up in, you know, judging people.
Right.
We're in this whole new era where we're learning about genetics and brain scans. And, you know, it's like, who's to say what a normal brain is?
Exactly.
We don't want to get rid of our Einsteins and Beethovens who weren't exactly normal individuals.
Well, that's
you know.
True. Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. That's really cool. If you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today, Linda Gabriel. She's a certified hypnotherapist, has been doing it for years. She's also known as the Thought Whisperer, author of so many books. She's also well known for her CDs that help people with all sorts of issues, whether it be weight loss, self-esteem, energy, motivation, just to name a few. We're going to be talking also just a bit about her book signing that is coming up on November 11th, I believe.
10th.
The 10th. That's Saturday. That's Saturday, November 10th. And, you know, we've just been talking about sort of hypnosis, but I want to turn the table a little bit. And you and I talked last week about something that's always fascinated me. And I know that you lived on the Big Island of Hawaii. You and I have a connection with that island.
Mm-hmm.
There's something, the only way I can explain it is when I get there, I feel like I'm home.
Right. Me too.
There's like a haunting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the Big Island that is...
We should do a past life, Michelle.
We should.
We need to explore that.
Yeah, we should. I'd love that. But while you were there and you researched so much, you learned about the ancient Hawaiian tradition of healing. And it's called Ho'oponopono.
Very
right?
good.
Thank
yes.
you. I have my
Perfect.
Phonetic spelling
yes.
now. Can you talk about some of those basic concepts? Because you use some of those teachings, and I am so with you on that. There's such a great, great teaching.
Well, Ho'oponopono is part of a larger spiritual body of knowledge called Huna, which that word Huna just means secret.
Mm-hmm.
And there are kahunas. People have heard about
right.
the big kahuna. That's a teacher of the secret. And there are kahunas that teach about drum making or canoeing or navigation.
Sure.
And then there are kahunas that talk about spirituality and the understanding of who we are as human beings.
Mm.
And part of that tradition is something called Ho'oponopono.
Mm.
Pono in Hawaiian means putting things in order.
Hmm.
And when they double up a word, they mean it's like super duper, like, you know, so ponopono means of a very high order. And and what this means is putting everything in your life in perspective and in order and making peace with your friends, neighbors, with yourself and with your spirituality.
Hmm.
So it's almost like a spiritual or mental cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it described as that. And it's about forgiveness and also about the understanding. I guess the most different thing about it is that it's grounded in an understanding that everything is connected.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Therefore, if I am aware of something that isn't pono or something that's not go right in the world, like if I'm looking at television and seeing bad news, or I mean, we've just watched this hurricane that blew through.
Oh my gosh.
Then there's a part of me that is helping create that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to be really careful here because it's not causal. It's not like A plus B is creating C.
Right.
It simply means that holographically we're all creating this experience together. And therefore, in Ho'oponopono, it all starts with me.
Mm-hmm.
I begin repairing myself, my relationships, my connection to my spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And
by
doing that, I improve the situation for the whole.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
absolutely.
And so it's about if you see something going on, you first you pray for yourself and then you pray for the other for the others. Does that?
Yes.
It's a little bit backwards from our normal way of thinking.
It's
like I need to fix myself.
Right, right.
And by fix, I mean put in order. It just means remembering who you are,
yes.
aligning your energy, mm-hmm. blessing yourself, and blessing the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been popularized recently mm-hmm. by Joe Vitale
yes.
and Ihaleakala Hugh Len. And he says, you know, he's famous because Ihaleakala is a psychologist who mm-hmm. worked for the criminal justice department in Hawaii and
yes.
with criminally insane people.
Yeah, what a job.
And he didn't talk to them. He would pull out their files and connect with them on that
right.
level of energy.
Yes.
And he would say, I'm sorry, I love you, please forgive me.
Yes.
And basically cleanse himself while thinking about these patients
mm-hmm,
and the, and
mm-hmm.
he had one of the best track records that all these people got better without having
yeah.
any dialogue. I know that's a little bit mind-blowing for people, but the Hawaiians kind of understood this.
Well, it's fascinating
yeah.
and it is an ancient teaching
it
too.
Is,
it
yeah.
really is. And what I say always at the end of my show is take care of yourself first
mm-hmm.
and then you'll be better for others.
Right.
And it's kind of the corny version of it, but I mean truly
or
if we work
it,
on ourselves.
Yeah, you know, it's that if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy version
that's right.
of spirituality, you know. But
exactly.
That's a little bit of an oversimplification,
yeah,
but
yeah.
you know, there are other traditions, like there's something called Tonglen in the Tibetan tradition
mm-hmm.
which is very similar, which instead of avoiding negativity, these people are so disciplined that they can breathe it in and
yes.
transmute it
mm-hmm.
so that you can process things and they can go where many of us would fear to tread and be calm, clear, present, and really help
mm-hmm.
because
yes.
they are transmuting the pain and suffering of people in their very being.
Mm.
By, they actually breathe it into their heart.
That's
and
beautiful.
Visualize the heart as the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about a storm cloud hitting the
mm-hmm.
sun, it just vaporizes.
Yeah, it
know?
Really does.
Yeah.
You know, on the very basic level, we really do have to take responsibility for ourselves first in every sense of the word
mm-hmm.
to sort of create a better world for everyone else. And
yeah.
yeah
so. I, you know, I do want to tell you that, you know, when my children were young, for example, my sons were always getting into battles. They were close in age. And,
right.
you know, and I have a friend who practices psychology, family
yeah.
therapy, and he uses Ho'oponopono in his
mm-hmm.
practice.
Mm.
And so when I was telling what was going on, he said, oh, it's because of you. And I got, you know, you need to clean it up in yourself.
Yes. yes.
And so I thought, I didn't understand at that time that
yes.
he didn't mean I was causing it.
Right.
He just meant you have more power in the situation than you know, because if you become peaceful in your own heart, that will create an energy field where
yes.
your children will find more peace between them.
Yes. yes.
So that I didn't have to be helpless in it. And in a way, it's empowering. It sounds at first glance like, well, it's all my fault. That's not what's being
right,
said here. So
right.
it's hard to get that across without actually practicing it. When we just talk about it as a concept,
right, right.
it sounds like, oh, I'm to blame for everything. That's not what
right.
I mean. Yeah.
Right, exactly. It's just trying to be the best you can. And I think you're right, you know, as a mom too. I mean, when we do change our inner approach and our inner thoughts about, you know, we have worries about our kids and where they're going or what are they doing and they need to calm down, they need to do this. You know, when we change that up, it's an amazing transition
yeah.
how when we relax and instill, I know you're going to do the right thing, or I know you're going to, you know.
Even, listen, I'm going to take it even, I don't understand quite how this magic
yeah.
works,
except
yeah. for, I mean, that's why I was attracted to Hawaiian spirituality, because
right.
it explained some of these
mm-hmm.
mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with someone recently who has a mother who calls her 3 or 4 times a day and drives
mm.
her kind of crazy,
mm-hmm.
and her mother's very negative.
Right.
So we did some work, and we actually did talk about a conversation that she could have with her mother, and I asked her, I said, how often would you actually feel comfortable talking? This woman, by the way, is in her 50s, I think,
yeah.
or late 40s, or
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But she's not a child.
Right.
And so, you know, in fact, she moved away to be away from her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave her some coaching on a way to let her mom off, you know, down
yes.
gently and to start
sure.
changing this behavior that had been going on for years, and said, you know, we rehearsed a way that she could claim her space and ask her mom to call once a day or maybe 3 times a week in the morning, and if she didn't answer, she'd call her back later and would, you know, I promise I'll talk to you 3 times a week.
Yes.
So then we did some work with her just on her stuff
mm-hmm.
and got clear about the emotional feelings she had, and we did some change work to help shift that.
Yes.
So I didn't see her for a couple of weeks, And when I saw her again, I said, how's it going with your mom? She said, she only calls me 3 times a week. I said, that's great.
Wow.
How did she handle it when you gave her that conversation? She said, I never had to say anything. She just started doing it.
Wow.
Now, that's what I mean about this kind of acausal thing.
Yes.
I wasn't even thinking about Ho'oponopono, but it's a perfect example.
It really is.
Of having had her, we did some cleanup work with her, and she became very clear in her own being.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, on the nonlinear, her mom became, we waste so much energy trying to control all those other people out there so we can be happy.
That's right.
But if we just kind of claim our own happiness, they suddenly get a new script and start behaving differently.
It's really true.
Yeah.
And again, it, you know, it's very physics oriented.
It is.
It's very quantum oriented.
If you understand quantum physics, it is indeed.
It really is. And not to take any, you know.
Not that I understand quantum physics completely.
No, but I mean, you've really studied it. I know you have. And, you know, it's not to take steal from the law of attraction, but I mean, truly, that is physics. And there are, when we change ourselves, things around us change. And, you know, on a very basic cognitive therapy thing, when we change our thoughts, everything looks different.
Right. And I just would like to say that there are people who are frustrated with the law of attraction and they keep trying to work it from the conscious mind.
Right.
Meanwhile, your subconscious is actually what magnetizes. So without the subconscious mind in conjunction with the conscious mind, it's much harder. Let's just put it that way.
Makes a lot of sense. And that's why you work with hypnotherapy.
Exactly.
Because you're getting to that subconscious level. We're out of time already.
Wow, that was fast.
That was really
and
fast.
And fun.
And fun. You're terrific, Linda.
Well,
thank you so much for coming.
You're a lot of fun to talk to, Michelle.
No,
we could go on for another couple hours.
Well, we'll do that when we get
we
off the air.
Okay.
If you'd like to find out more about Linda, how can everybody get in touch with you and get your books?
The
easiest
way to be in touch with me is to go to my website, which is www.lindagabriel.com. And Gabriel is G-A-B-R-I-E-L.
Okay, great. And you're going to have a book signing of the new book on November 10th, Saturday, at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove.
That's
what a cool place.
There'll be a lot of women in the book there. It's
going
to be fun and inspiring, and it's a beautiful book.
Exactly.
Great gift. Fantastic gift with the holidays coming.
It is a beautiful book. If you missed this show and you just tuned in at the end and you said, wow, that sounds great, or if you want to replay, download, the show will be available tomorrow, and of course I'll have the content information. All my shows are now available on iTunes for replay, reruns, and of course I'll have contact and content information so you can find Linda anywhere in the world if you'd like. I'm also on the new format TalkTube as well. So there you have it, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Linda, such a nice day today. Thank you for
brightening my day. Aloha.
Aloha. Oh, I miss it. I really miss Hawaii. I want to be there. Aloha. Hello and goodbye. How's that? All right. Okay, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in here. And again, like I said, all the content will be available for you tomorrow and thereafter. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, folks, because then you'll be great for others. That's the way it works. Work on yourself first. Next week, another relationship therapist for you who's going to really help you work through a lot of your unresolved issues and get things a little clearer in your head. All right, have a great weekend, and I'll be back in a week. You can stay on the couch if you like. This is Dr. Michelle. Bye-bye.